I really enjoy seeing young people serve the Lord. Very thankful for that, the opportunities they have to encourage how the Lord spoke into their heart. And I know that not all of them got the chance to talk, but I know that personally getting to spend time with many of them, if not all of them, talked about how the people were very, very thankful for the privileges. And once again, it's a part of what you allow us to do. You know, as a pastor, when we go on these trips, there's times when I don't get to do all the things I want to do because I'm there, and I appreciate patience, but I think the trips are important. I think the trips are good, and I think there are things that can make eternal differences, and they're really choices to influence when we can. And I think young people are people that we can influence at this age, and like I said, there were a lot of preaching, a lot of sessions, a lot of positive things, and it was really truly a help. And from junior camp to youth congress to a Christian's trip to Camp Barnabas, I saw profitable things in each and every one of them. Looking forward to how God's going to take those things with them as they get older. Okay, Psalms chapter 47, we're going to read the chapter, only 9 verses, and then we're going to look at one certain phrase that's inside of these verses and talk for a little while about let God choose for you. Let God choose for you. I do know I see the time, so it won't probably be as long a message as normal, but stick with me, and I think it's some different truths that you can get out of here. And this is not just intended for young people. This is for all of us, because in our lives we have a lot of choices. The choice is on the shelf. Are we going to choose for God or are we going to choose for self? So let's remember to let God choose for us. Chapter 47 in Psalms says, verse number 1, "O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under his feet and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the things we've seen and heard. Lord, we've been encouraged, and I pray that the young people's the things they did was a blessing. As we heard earlier, make me a blessing. And Lord, that's what I want to be tonight, is to just encourage us with this thought. And Lord, I pray that you give me the words that you once said. And Lord, that you open up our hearts of understanding. We listen on purpose, looking to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that when it says in verse number 4, "He shall choose our inheritance for us," it's in reference to the nation of Israel. And as it's talking about the nation of Israel, it gives us something to help us understand that God had more planned for them back then than they could ever imagine. When they talk about the land of milk and honey, they could have dreamed dreams that they could never imagine. Remember when Joshua and Caleb came back, and those spies, they had these grapes, and they says, for sure it is a land that floweth with milk and honey. It blow past their anything they could imagine. And I want to encourage you tonight that it's not just for the nation of Israel. God has a special plan for each and every one of us. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So I want you to think for a second. Have you ever thought about what you don't know? I don't know about me. Every day it's like, man, I wish I should know that. I wish I knew that. When I stand around people who are really smart and really intelligent, it makes me feel really dumb. It reminds me of how much stuff I do not know. But then do you ever think about all the stuff that God does know? You think about all the things we don't know, but how much God knows. In that verse, it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We don't know that. But you know what? Praise God, he knows it. There might be things that we don't know, we don't understand, But God knows and God understands. Think about what it says in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What the scripture is saying there is that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Why is it above what we ask or think? It's because we don't know what he has planned for us. We don't know the things that he has in store for us. We don't know what is best. There's a limited amount of knowledge that we have. Consider all those things that we don't know, all those things we don't understand. Those are the things that God knows, and God is already there. God already has it figured out. So in verse number 4, when it says, he shall choose our inheritance for us, the thought for tonight is, let God choose for you. Let God choose for you in your life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, God is saying, I have big plans for you. I have thoughts toward you. There's an intention. There's a reason. There's something he desires for you to do. And he said, they are thoughts of peace. They're not of evil. They are thoughts of, hey, I know what's best for you. I'm not thinking evil on you. This is something that I like for you to do to get to an expected end. I want you to think about this as you consider these words that he chose our inheritance for us. He shall choose our inheritance. It speaks of the past, but also speaking of the future and God's plan for the nation of Israel in the future. He has something special planned for them. But the case it was for the nation of Israel was also the case he has for us today. Just as it was real that God had a plan for that nation and God had a purpose for that nation, he has a plan and a purpose for us also. Just a few things. The first thing I want you to think about is some choices in life you did not make, or some choices in life you do not get the chance to make. There's some choices in life you do not get the chance to make. Think about it. How many of us chose where we were born at? None of us, right? I mean, you think about it. And once again, I think we should be thankful for our heritage, and even some point in times be honored where we were and be good for it. But you know, only by the grace of God we were born where we were born, right? You think about those people that were in Africa that were born there that don't have electricity, don't have all those other things. You know, are we better than they are because we were born in America? No. You think about it. We did not choose where we were born. We did not choose our parents. I mean, I think many of us probably have very parents that we're thankful for and grateful for, but we did not choose them. We did not choose our name. How many people don't like their name? Anybody? I know there's a few that wish you had a different name. We didn't choose that. We didn't choose our gender. I don't care what anybody tells you. You don't choose what gender you are. God makes you what gender you are. You know, that is just reality. That you know, there are some things we did not choose. Next thing is, there are some choices that you have to make for yourself. You know, we can't choose where we've been born. We can't choose our parents. We can't choose our name. I know you can change your name. I know you can change the spelling of your name, but that was that name that was written on that birth certificate was your given name. But there are some choices you have to make. One choice you need to make if you want to become a Christian is salvation. Nobody can choose that for you. The idea of the message, let God choose for you, it comes to the point is there are some things that we can't choose, but there's some things that only we can choose to do. Salvation is one of those things. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior? I can't do that for you. I don't know if you're here tonight and if you don't know Christ, if you're not sure of your eternal home, the Bible says there's specific ways, there's only one way to get to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. And that's seeing the fact that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, feeling conviction of your sin, and turning to God and saying, God, I am putting my faith and trust in Christ and what Christ did on that cross and believing in what he has done. That is a choice that you can only make for yourself. No one can make that choice for you. Believe me, if we could make that choice, wouldn't we get saved for the whole world? Wouldn't we say, hey, I'm going to get saved for so-and-so tonight? It doesn't work that way. There are some choices that only you can make. Life is full of choices. Every day of your life, you're going to make a choice. If you're a Christian, is whether or not you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. No one can make that choice for you. That's your choice. Am I going to serve God today? Am I going to walk with God today? That's why Joshua told the people at the end of one of his last messages, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. No one on earth can make the choice for you whether or not you're going to be saved. No one on earth today can make the choice for you whether or not you're going to serve God. And believe me, parents can try to beat that. You're going to serve God when you become an adult. It don't work. As much as we would like to, even as a pastor, I'd like to see people respond and serve God. I can't get saved for them. I cannot force them to serve God. There are some choices that you don't get a chance to make, and there's some choices that only you can make. But the third thing I want you to think about is there's some things you can choose, and you would be better off to let God choose for you. There are certain things in this world that you can choose, and you'd be better off to let God choose for you. All throughout life, there's going to be doors. There's going to be opportunities. But not everything is God's will. Just because there's an opportunity that's there doesn't mean it's God's will for your life. You think about it. Everyone you meet, to the young people, everyone you meet is not somebody you're supposed to marry. Obviously, it can't be that way. You think about it, not everybody you meet, not everyone maybe that you have dated, maybe not the people that you talk to, you know, doesn't mean that that's the person you're supposed to marry. I remember a number of years ago, I had a young lady that I guess a friend with or a special friend with, and her parents told her that I wasn't the one for her. And you know how thankful I am today for that? You know, God, thankfully, God chose for me. And I'm thankful for that. And the reality is, sometimes, can you imagine somebody not wanting me to be their son-in-law? I don't get that. But at the same time, you know what? They said, we're going to let God choose. And you're going to let God choose for you. Look what it says here in verse number 4. He shall choose our inheritance for us. Every college is not this place where you're supposed to go, young person. God, let him choose for you. As an adult, every job is not the right job for you. Just because there's an opportunity, let God choose for you. Everything that you can do does not mean that it's because you can do it and have the opportunity that is God's will for you. I thought about this, and I think about, I heard one preacher put it this way, how come Jesus didn't do everything? Now, he did a lot, but he was, because of the fact he was man and God at the same time, he could only be in one location. And there was tons of people out there that was sick. And I believe every person he came across that was sick and desired to be healed, I believe he would have healed them. But you think about it, his life was silent for 30 years. And then for 3.5 years, he served and he did his ministry. He did the will of the Father. But at the end of his life, he said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He said, well, the whole world hadn't been healed yet. How could he finish? God had a special plan and purpose for him. He could look at it in his life. I've done the work that you've gave me to do. There was still much work that needed to be done, but he had done the work. I want you to understand this. There's things that we should do and things we should not do. There's choices, there's opportunities, and there's all these things in your life that you have in front of you. Let God choose for you. You say, I like to make my own choices. And I remember there's been times in my life, I want this, and I don't care what anybody says. I remember as a young person, I want to choose my friends, I want to choose my music, I want to choose this, and I want to choose that. But God has humbled me over these years to help me understand that I'm not capable of making the decisions for myself. I need to let God choose those things for me. I'm not capable. I don't have the knowledge that he has. Remember, he is able to show me things which I know not. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think. Remember, his thoughts are towards me. I don't have the knowledge he has, and I don't have the ability he has to make the right decisions. I can't trust in myself. Instead, I need to let God choose for me. We like to pick out our plans. We like to pick out all types of things in our life, but in all reality, submission and surrender is when we wave the white flag and say, God, I'm going to let you choose for me. Here's a couple reasons, and there's probably a lot more, but there's a few things in this passage here that I'd like to help you to consider why we should let God choose for us. The first thing is, let God choose for you because he has a better perspective than you. He has a better perspective than you. Look what it says in verse number 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. And he's like, well, that doesn't sound good. He is a great king over all the earth. And I think about God's perspective. Sitting up there high and lifted up on his throne. And I think about it, who's going to make a better choice, him or me for my life? He's the one that knows the beginning of time till the end of time. He inhabits it. From the beginning to the end, he knows what's going to happen. He knows exactly what I need. He knows my struggles. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strengths. He knows what that person is going to be like 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. He knows what, he has a different perspective. He sits up on a throne that is high and lifted up, and he sees everything that is going on. He sees everything that happens. How foolish it would be for me to say, hey, God, I want to make the choice with my life. I want to do what I want to do. How much we should say, God, I want you to make the choice for me. He sees it all from the beginning to the end. He has a completely different perspective. Look what it says in verse number 5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. This shout is speaking of victorious, and thinks about the Lord, the sound of a trumpet. I think about, you know, when Christ was buried and he rose again, and how he went up and with that authoritative, he had the keys of the hell and grave, and you know, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he went up triumphantly into heaven. Praise the Lord for that. And I think about it, someday he's coming back with that shout, and he's coming back with the sound of a trumpet, and I'm thinking that someday he is going to reign victoriously here. And if he can do all those things, don't you think he could choose better for us than we choose for ourselves? Don't you think it would be better to say, Lord, I want you to make the choice for me? You know, you think about life and perspective of life, and if your birth was right here, and maybe your life is right here, and death is right here, you say, that's not long enough. That's about a hand's width. That's what the Bible talks about we have, is a very short life. And then you consider that life is that long. And then you take eternity, and you keep on going and going and going and going. And I could run around the auditorium 100 times and never touch eternity, how long eternity is. And you say, well, that'd be kind of fun to watch. Well, you probably have to call the doctor or call the ambulance. But, but in all reality, life is very, very short, and we only see in this short time period, and we can't even sometimes in our own life can't even figure out, okay, here's the beginning, here's the end. I really need to be planning for the end. I need to be, you know, I need to figure out, we can't even take care of ourselves many times during this short period of time. How in the world are we going to figure out what type of influence and impact I'm going to make on all of eternity? There's only one that can do that, and that's God. We should let God choose for us when it comes to our decisions, when it comes to jobs, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to separation issues, when it comes to churches, when it comes to how we should live our lives. We find it in the Word, and we should let Him choose for us because He has a better perspective. The next thing I want you to think about is not only because of that, but also let God choose for you because He loves you. You know, He loves you. Look what it says in verse number 4, the rest of that. It says, He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved, Selah. Now, the excellency of Jacob is actually found in another spot in the Bible. I'm not going to take time to dig into that tonight, but he's saying it's the Jacob. And why didn't he say Abraham? Or why didn't he say Isaac? Why does he say Jacob? Why didn't he say Israel? And it's an interesting study, but it's showing you the nation that He loved. And the Bible teaches us that He loves us too. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The Bible speaks of the love that He has. Let's think about the love for the nation of Israel. It says in Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. And I think about the love that God had for the nation of Israel, and if they would have just chose to let the Lord choose for them in their paths, and if they would have let the Lord choose them to, as they went into those nations, as they went to the promised land, if they would have just let God make the choices for them instead of them thinking and reasoning in their own heart and trusting their own heart, and they would have just said, I know that I can't trust myself. I know I can't trust my flesh. I know I need to depend on Him. I need to depend on His Word. I'm going to let God make the choice for me. I'm going to I'm going to go into the promised land, and I'm going to serve the Lord of my heart. And all those promises, all those things, all those thoughts he had toward them, all those things. And they said, no, 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 I want to choose for myself. Yes, God says, I want you to go here. But he says, oh, no, that looks like it has too many valleys. That looks like it has too many fights. It has too many wars. No, 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 I'm going to go back here. I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back. No, no, no. In our lives, we should say, God, I'm going to let you choose for me. God, I've made a mess of certain things in my life, and now I want you to choose for me because I know you have a better perspective than I do, but also I know that you love me. Romans chapter number 8 is a powerful chapter of the Bible, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. And it speaks so much about the love of Christ towards the end, and also the love of God. Think about what it says in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Give us all things. He's saying, if I'm going to give you my son, and I'm going to let my son die for you, how am I not going to give you the things you need? How am I not going to make the right choices for you? How am I not going to give you the things you need to succeed and those things that you need to find out the exceedingly abundant, more than we ask or things? I'm going to show you those things. How is he going to show us those things? So when we choose for him, when we choose to let God choose for us. Then it says in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Romans 8:38, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reasons why we need to let him choose for us. The reason why we need to say, okay, Lord, I'm taking my hand off my life. I'm going to try to be a biblical person. And I'm going to live according to what your word has said. It's because that you love me. You've showed that love for me. And you've also taught me that there is nothing that can separate me from that love that you've given me. So tonight, do you let God choose for you? How about in your relationships? I mean, what does he ask us to do? He tells us to be faithful, doesn't he? Do we let him choose? Do we choose that and say, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful? How about our relationships? He tells us to forgive. There are people that we're supposed to honor. There are people that we're supposed to obey. There are relationships that we're supposed to have. And as we look into the word and we understand those things, are we letting God choose? Are we letting God choose for us? Our Bible is so clear about so many different things and so many different issues. And we would tell all our young people, all the ones that were up here, whether they were the younger ones singing there, the younger, older ones singing over there, we say, let God choose for your life. You should let him choose for you. He knows what's best. What about us? Do we let God choose for us? Or are we living the way that we think is right? Or are we living the way that we think is best? So the encouragement tonight is, let God choose for you. Jacob was that swindler. Jacob was the one that stole the birthright. You know, he tried to figure things out on his own. He tried to do things his own way. He got a mess out of it, didn't he? But when he let God choose for him, you know what? Life was a lot better. I want to encourage you tonight, he shall choose our inheritance for us. The psalmist is here and he's rejoicing in the fact that God is one that's going to choose the inheritance for this nation. And we can rejoice in the fact that God is willing and able to make us choices for us when we call unto him. He's promised that he's going to answer us. But not only has he promised that he's going to answer us, he's promised he's going to show us great and mighty things which we don't know. We don't understand. We should let God choose for us. Why is that? Because he has the knowledge that we don't have. He has the perspective that we don't have. We have such a small time period here, and it's such a challenge to just even live during this time, each day, moment by moment. What decision should I make? What decision should I not make? And the challenge that's found here is, let God choose for you. Learn his word. Know what the choices he's already made through you, through the words of the Bible. And then speak to him, be a willing servant, and let God lead and guide you. He said, if you'll call unto me, and I will answer thee. And he says, I'm not only going to just answer you, I'm going to show you things that's going to blow your mind. Tonight, if you're here and not sure that you're on your way to heaven, if you don't know him tonight, you can. According to the truths and promises found in the Word of God and the Bible, there are things that will teach you and show you what it means to have a right relationship with God. No one can make that choice for you. You're going to have to make that choice. But once you make that choice, choose to let God make the decisions for you. Don't make them on your own. Let God lead and guide you. That's why he's given you his Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.